The Explosive Child has become a lifeline for millions of parents worldwide since its first publication in 1998. Dr. Ross Green's groundbreaking approach has transformed family dynamics in households where children's extreme behaviors had previously created chaos and despair. This book has been endorsed by numerous child psychologists and has been featured on major parenting platforms like Psychology Today and NPR's This American Life. What makes Green's work particularly powerful is how it reframes our understanding of challenging behaviors, not as willful defiance, but as signals of developmental lagging skills. As one celebrity parent noted, this book saved our family. With over 1 million copies sold and translated into 25 languages, The Explosive Child continues to offer hope where traditional parenting methods have failed. What if everything you believed about your child's difficult behavior was wrong? Most traditional parenting approaches assume children misbehave because they want something, are manipulating adults, or simply haven't been disciplined effectively. Dr. Green flips this perspective entirely. Kids do well if they can. When children aren't doing well, it's not because they lack motivation or need stricter consequences. It's because they lack the skills to do better. This fundamental shift in thinking challenges decades of behavioral management approaches that focus primarily on rewards and punishments. This paradigm shift is revolutionary because it completely reframes how we view challenging behaviors. Rather than seeing your explosive child as deliberately difficult, you begin to recognize that they're struggling with specific cognitive skills that most children develop naturally. These skills include emotional regulation, cognitive flexibility, frustration tolerance, problem-solving abilities, and social skills. Your child isn't choosing to have meltdowns. They genuinely don't know how to respond differently when faced with challenges. Just as we wouldn't punish a child for not knowing how to read, we shouldn't punish them for lacking emotional regulation skills. Consider 7-year-old Philip, who dumped eggs in the sink when served something he didn't want for breakfast. Traditional approaches would focus on punishing this bad behavior through timeouts or loss of privileges. But through Green's lens, we see a child who lacks several crucial skills. The flexibility to handle unexpected changes, the emotional regulation to manage disappointment, and the communication skills to express his needs appropriately. The solution isn't more punishment. It's helping Philip develop these missing skills through patient guidance and practice. This perspective transforms how we respond to challenging behaviors in several key ways. Instead of asking, "How can I make my child behave?" we ask, "What's getting in my child's way?" We begin to identify specific skill deficits. Does the child struggle with transitions? Have difficulty reading social cues? Lack strategies for managing frustration? This understanding leads to more effective interventions. For example, a child who melts down during transitions might benefit from visual schedules and advance warnings, while one who struggles with social skills might need explicit teaching about reading facial expressions and tone of voice. The shift also fundamentally changes the parent-child dynamic. Rather than enforcing compliance through authority, parents become partners in problem-solving. This collaborative approach builds trust, enhances communication, and creates lasting solutions that address the root causes of behavioral challenges. When children feel understood rather than judged, they become more open to learning new skills and strategies. This approach not only reduces challenging behaviors, but also strengthens the parent-child relationship and builds the child's confidence in their ability to handle difficult situations. Behind every meltdown, tantrum, or explosive episode lies a set of underdeveloped cognitive skills. These aren't character flaws or deliberate choices. They're developmental gaps that make certain situations overwhelming for your child. Understanding these lagging skills is the first step toward meaningful change. Many explosive children struggle with cognitive flexibility, the ability to adapt when things don't go as expected. For them, even minor deviations from routine can trigger panic. 6-year-old Courtney's meltdown when Rain canceled a park visit wasn't defiance. It was her rigid thinking, making it impossible to shift gears. "That's the plan," she insisted, unable to process the change. Another common challenge is difficulty managing emotions. While all children experience strong feelings, most develop the ability to set emotions aside temporarily to think clearly, what psychologists call separation of affect. Children lacking this skill respond to frustrations with emotion rather than thought. Mickey became enraged when wind ruined his outdoor plans because he couldn't regulate his disappointment enough to consider alternatives. Many explosive children also struggle with problem solving. When faced with challenges, they can't generate multiple potential solutions or anticipate outcomes. Some act impulsively on their first idea, usually the worst option, while others freeze, unable to think of any solution at all. Communication difficulties compound these challenges. Language is how we express needs and solve problems through internal self-talk. Children lacking these skills may resort to physical responses, like hitting or inappropriate words like shut up, because they literally don't know what else to say. As 8-year-old Gus explained after kicking a classmate over toys, "I didn't know what to say." By identifying your child's specific lagging skills using tools like Green's Assessment of Lagging Skills and Unsolved Problems, ALSU, you can finally understand what's driving those explosive moments, and more importantly, how to help your child develop the skills they need. Traditional parenting approaches fixate on behaviors, the tantrums, aggression, or defiance that disrupt family life. Dr. Green's approach shifts our focus to what he calls unsolved problems, the specific situations that consistently trigger challenging behaviors because they demand skills your child hasn't yet developed. These unsolved problems are predictable and recurrent. They're not random explosions, but patterns that emerge in particular circumstances. Transitioning between activities, handling disappointment, sharing with siblings, completing homework, or getting ready in the morning. By identifying these specific situations, you can address problems proactively rather than reactively managing behaviors after they've escalated. When parents Debbie and Kevin completed the ALSUP assessment for their daughter Jennifer, they identified 15 lagging skills and numerous unsolved problems. Difficulty eating dinner with family, eating non-waffle breakfasts, turning off videos for church, agreeing on TV shows with her brother, completing homework, and getting to bed on time. This comprehensive list helped them see that they'd been focused on behaviors rather than solving underlying problems for years. The key to identifying unsolved problems effectively is specificity. Rather than vague concerns like difficulty with transitions, effective problem statements identify exactly which transitions cause difficulty and what specifically happens during those transitions. This precision allows for targeted intervention. Green provides 3 guidelines for formulating unsolved problems. First, omit any mention of concerning behaviors. Start with difficulty, followed by a specific situation. Second, exclude adult theories about why the problem occurs. Avoid writing because. Third, split rather than clump problems. Be specific about each distinct challenge. Once you've identified all unsolved problems, prioritization becomes essential. Don't attempt to solve everything simultaneously. That guarantees nothing gets solved. Select your top 3 priorities based on safety concerns, frequency, and impact on your child's life or others. The remaining issues can wait. This isn't giving in. It's recognizing that problems accumulated over years can't be solved overnight. Dr. Green outlines 3 distinct approaches to handling unsolved problems with your child, each with different purposes and outcomes. Understanding when to use each plan is crucial for effective parenting. Plan A is solving problems unilaterally through imposed adult solutions. It's the traditional authoritarian approach signaled by phrases like, "I've decided that." While this might seem like proper parental authority, it induces frustration in children who already struggle with frustration management. Solutions reached through Plan A are uninformed because they don't address what's making it difficult for your child to meet expectations. Using power creates conflict and teaches children to respond with power themselves. Plan A should be reserved only for immediate safety concerns, like yanking your child away from a speeding car. Plan C involves temporarily setting aside certain expectations. This isn't giving in, it's strategic prioritization. Trying to solve all problems simultaneously guarantees solving none effectively. With Plan C, you consciously decide which expectations to defer because you have higher priorities or because the expectation was unrealistic. While some expectations won't be met immediately, the benefit is fewer behavioral incidents and more bandwidth for addressing your highest priority problems. Plan B, the collaborative problem-solving approach, is the heart of Green's method. Despite conventional wisdom suggesting you should never collaborate with children, Plan B actually puts you more in charge than ever before. The process consists of three steps: the empathy step, gathering information about what's making it difficult for your child to meet expectations; the define adult concern step, communicating your perspective on why the expectation matters; and the invitation step, working together toward realistic, mutually satisfying solutions. Plan B works best proactively, addressing problems before they occur, not during heated moments when clear thinking is difficult. This approach not only solves specific problems, but also teaches crucial life skills, identifying concerns, considering others' perspectives, and finding mutually satisfying solutions to disagreements. The first and most crucial step in collaborative problem solving is gathering information about what's making it difficult for your child to meet expectations. Without this understanding, problems remain unsolved. The empathy step gives children a voice so they don't need concerning behaviors to be heard. This step begins with introducing the unsolved problem using neutral language. "I've noticed that you're having difficulty getting ready for bed at night. What's up?" The goal is to understand, not to lecture, blame, or jump to solutions. Many parents struggle with this step because it requires genuine curiosity about their child's perspective, even when that perspective seems unreasonable. When children respond with "I don't know" or silence, give them time to think. This response might mean they truly don't know, expect consequences, fear saying something that might cause conflict, didn't understand the question, struggle to articulate thoughts, or are simply buying time. If they genuinely can't identify their concern, offer educated guesses based on past experiences while avoiding assuming you know their thoughts. Effective drilling techniques help gather specific information when children give vague responses like "it's boring" or "I don't like it." These include reflective listening, "so you're saying," asking specific questions about who, what, where, when, exploring situational variability, "does this happen every time?" asking about thoughts, "what were you thinking when?" breaking problems into components, making observations about patterns, summarizing and asking for more, and acknowledging when you need to table concerns to explore additional factors. The empathy step often reveals surprising information. A child refusing homework might be struggling with handwriting difficulties rather than laziness. A child fighting bedtime might be afraid of the dark rather than testing limits. By understanding these underlying concerns, you can develop solutions that actually address the real problems rather than just the behaviors they produce. After understanding your child's concerns, the next step is introducing your perspective as the adult. This typically begins with phrases like "my concern is" or "the thing is." Many parents find this step challenging because they're accustomed to focusing on solutions rather than articulating underlying concerns. Adult concerns typically fall into two categories: how the problem affects the child, health, safety, learning, and how it affects others. For school avoidance, the concern might be missed learning opportunities. For teeth brushing resistance, concerns might include dental health and expensive treatments. For excessive video gaming, concerns might include social isolation and neglected responsibilities. When defining your concerns, specificity matters. Rather than vague statements like, "I'm worried about your future," express concrete concerns. "I'm concerned that without practice writing paragraphs, starting them will continue to be difficult for you and your good ideas won't get expressed." This clarity helps your child understand exactly what matters to you and why. It's important to note that your child doesn't have to care about your concerns. They just need to take them into account while finding a mutually satisfactory solution. Children will start addressing your concerns once you show you're addressing theirs. Even if your child says they don't care about your perspective, persistence in the conversation can still lead to productive problem solving. The define adult concern step creates space for both perspectives to be acknowledged. It teaches children that problems have multiple dimensions and that solutions need to address everyone's concerns. This balanced approach models respect while maintaining appropriate parental guidance. The final step in collaborative problem solving involves working together to find a solution that addresses both sets of concerns. This collaborative approach differs fundamentally from imposing solutions unilaterally. The adult invites the child into problem solving with phrases like, "I wonder if there's a way for us to solve this problem," or "Let's think about how we can work that out." For maximum clarity, recap both concerns identified in the previous steps. For example, with a child struggling with a Shakespeare paper, "I wonder if there's a way for us to help you find the words to start each section and still make sure you get some practice at doing that so it won't always be so hard for you and so that you can express your really good ideas." This step requires patience and creativity. The goal isn't to reach the perfect solution immediately, but to begin a collaborative process that might require refinement over time. If your child truly has no ideas, it's perfectly fine to offer proposals yourself. Remember that problem solving is a partnership. It's not solely the child's job to generate solutions. Before finalizing any solution, ensure it's truly realistic, both parties can follow through, and mutually satisfying, addressing everyone's concerns. If there's doubt, continue discussing until reaching a better option. First solutions often need adjustment as you implement them and discover unforeseen challenges. The invitation step teaches children crucial life skills: how to consider multiple perspectives, how to compromise without feeling defeated, and how to solve problems collaboratively rather than through conflict. These skills extend far beyond the specific problem being solved. They're essential for success in relationships, education, and future careers. Even with the best intentions, implementing collaborative problem solving isn't always smooth. Understanding common pitfalls can help you navigate challenges more effectively. Some parents hesitate to try Plan B due to lack of confidence in their skills or fear their child will react negatively. While initial attempts may face resistance from children accustomed to Plan A, neither parent nor child will improve without practice. The collaborative process requires both parties to develop these skills together. Many parents make the mistake of using emergency Plan B during heated moments rather than proactive Plan B, addressing problems before they occur. Emergency Plan B happens under time constraints and distractions, making problem solving more difficult. Proactive Plan B, guided by the ALSUP assessment, allows parents to address problems methodically before crises erupt. Another common mistake is entering conversations with preconceived notions about what's causing difficulties or with predetermined solutions. This prevents genuine exploration of your child's perspective and limits the effectiveness of collaborative problem solving. While having potential solutions in mind is acceptable, it's impossible to determine the right solution before identifying both parties' concerns. Some children struggle to participate in Plan B conversations due to extremely short fuses, irritability, hyperactivity, or attention issues. In some cases, medication might provide relief and make problem solving more feasible. For children with communication delays, Plan B can be adapted using pictures, laminated cards with images representing problems, and teaching simple phrases like, "Something's the matter." Remember that progress isn't perfection. If Plan B hasn't fully solved a problem, but communication has improved, if your child participates in discussions, or if both parties remain committed to the process, you're making progress. Effective problem solving is incremental, with good solutions evolving from previous attempts. Collaborative problem solving extends beyond addressing individual behaviors. It transforms entire family systems. This approach creates healthier communication patterns and relationships between all family members. Siblings of children with behavioral challenges face unique difficulties as their brother or sister may require disproportionate parental attention. Important principles for managing sibling dynamics include ensuring everyone's safety, recognizing all family members have lagging skills and unsolved problems, understanding that fair doesn't mean equal, and acknowledging the difficulty of having a sibling with concerning behaviors. Plan B works well for sibling conflicts, with parents acting as facilitators, often by conducting the empathy step separately with each child before bringing them together. Healthy communication patterns are essential when dealing with behaviorally challenging children. Several unhealthy patterns should be avoided. Speculation, drawing erroneous conclusions about others' motives, overgeneralization, making sweeping statements from isolated incidents, perfectionism, clinging to unrealistic expectations despite progress, sarcasm, which confuses literal thinking children, put-downs, catastrophizing, interrupting, lecturing, dwelling on the past, and talking through a third person. For two-parent families, different approaches to discipline often create tension. One parent might favor imposing adult will, while the other prefers letting things go, with neither approach working effectively. This leads to blame between partners for failing to reduce concerning behaviors. Partners who struggle to solve problems collaboratively with each other will find it even more challenging to use these skills with their child. Plan B can help parents learn new skills alongside their child and restore energy by solving problems durably. The ultimate goal isn't just managing behaviors, but creating a family environment where everyone's concerns are heard, where problems are solved collaboratively, and where relationships grow stronger through mutual respect and understanding. As one father wrote after implementing Green's approach with his explosive 12-year-old daughter, "Without professional help, we restored normalcy to our lives. My daughter is now a well-balanced student-athlete with good communication skills. This is my greatest life accomplishment." While helping behaviorally challenging children at home is difficult, schools present even greater obstacles. Teachers often lack specialized training, there are multiple staff members to coordinate, and traditional discipline systems are deeply entrenched. For students who struggle behaviorally at school, zero-tolerance policies and consequence-based discipline systems have proven ineffective, leading vulnerable students to become increasingly disenfranchised. Successfully implementing Plan B in schools requires several key components: awareness that traditional disciplinary approaches are failing certain students, making behaviorally challenging students a priority despite competing demands, developing expertise in identifying lagging skills and unsolved problems, shifting away from blaming parents for school behavior issues, and finding time for collaborative problem solving. Plan B works the same way between teachers and students as it does between parents and children. When a student refuses to do an assignment because of spelling difficulties, teachers have options beyond punitive approaches. Emergency Plan C would acknowledge the refusal while offering to discuss it later, while Emergency Plan B would immediately engage with the student's concerns, leading to solutions like peer assistance. Plan B can also facilitate problem-solving between students, with the teacher serving as mediator. When students have conflicts over project collaboration, the teacher helps them clarify concerns and find mutually satisfactory solutions. It can even address whole classroom issues through group discussions about non-academic problems like bullying or classroom conduct. parents and educators often struggle to collaborate effectively due to blame, lack of consensus about a child's difficulties, and attempts to impose solutions. When they exchange specific information about lagging skills and unsolved problems, trust develops. The Plan B process between parents and teachers follows the same steps: gathering information about specific difficulties, understanding concerns from both perspectives, and collaboratively developing realistic solutions. By extending collaborative problem-solving from home to school, we create consistent approaches that help children develop skills across all environments. This consistency reinforces learning and provides children with the support they need to succeed academically and socially. The journey with an explosive child is never easy, but it can become more manageable, even rewarding, with the right approach. Dr. Green's collaborative problem-solving method offers a path forward that benefits not just the challenging child, but the entire family system. This approach isn't about quick fixes or perfect behavior. It's about understanding that behind every challenging behavior lies a lagging skill and an unsolved problem. It's about shifting from seeing your child as willful or manipulative to recognizing them as struggling with genuine developmental challenges. It's about moving from power struggles to collaborative solutions that address everyone's concerns. Progress comes gradually, not as perfection, but as better communication, stronger relationships, and fewer concerning behaviors. You'll know you're succeeding when you begin to view your child's difficulties with compassion rather than frustration, when communication improves, when your child participates in problem-solving discussions, and when both of you remain committed to working together. As one mother in the book embraced their abnormal reality, she focused on making each day slightly better than the last rather than seeking normalcy. She felt confident about handling whatever challenges arose, acknowledging that while partnering with her child made things easier, the journey remained far from easy. The most powerful reminder throughout this approach is that kids do well if they can. So do parents. When things aren't going well, it's not because anyone is choosing to make life difficult. It's because someone lacks the skills needed to do better. By identifying those lagging skills and solving problems collaboratively, families can transform conflict into connection and chaos into calm. The path forward isn't about eliminating all challenges, it's about developing the skills to navigate them together. And in that collaborative journey, both parents and children discover strengths they never knew they had.